And as Josh shared, we are glad to be back. It's always good to get away, but always good to be back home. And so, as he had already made mention, just going to recap some of those things for this month, our special giving month, really pray about that, designate that out, try to, I've got a prayer goal in mind. About 3 or 4 years, let's get this thing taken care of and paid off, and then we can use that money for more important kingdom work. Not that having things here aren't important, but there's a lot of things that we could do with those funds. So pray about that. Give towards that. Every little bit helps to break that down. I will say, ever since we've been involved with CFR, that has been a great help in making that happen. So whenever Keith Wood comes in, I'm always thankful for the efforts that they put forth making that available for the congregation here. Also, number two, the one I just shared, don't forget those that I talked to or have talked to me that we have lined up for next week for the Prez out at WCCH. That starts at 9 o'clock, I'm sure that if you are interested in going and haven't let me or Jason know that there's still room, we could make that happen. So it starts at 9 o'clock, but Jason says if you want to get there earlier, 8:45 to get donuts, 8:30 if you want the good donuts. Things like that, that you could, be out there, for that. But we are so, looking forward to that. Did a great job last year. The speaker list that they've got lined up for this year, looks, tremendous. Just, the sharing for that. And so you say, well, I'm not gonna, go and be a preacher. But you may have opportunities to fill in. You may have opportunities to teach. You may have opportunities, better opportunities to share the gospel, the more that you're inclined to those things. And so be interested, thinking and praying for that. Also, then, as he shared tonight, we will be setting Josh Miller aside as an elder here at the church. And so for your expression of support, please be here tonight for him. Be praying not only for him, but the other three elders as well. And we are continuing to look at that. Those are all things that we look at for the congregation. When we take a look at our spiritual health and our spiritual well-being, those are things that all these things that we've shared here this morning are evidences of kingdom work and being involved in those things, from very physical things to the building to very spiritual things of leadership and everything in between. So continue to pray for all of those things. Going to be sharing a message this morning called the Christian and the Culture. And I just wanted to share some of these things. Kind of one of those, when we talk about the culture, I remember years ago, Josh Gustin did a class on music in the Bible and things. And one of the statements he made was that music itself is amoral. And so what does that mean? It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's whatever you make it to be. And so what I've heard, especially over the last month, and we all know why, but we say, oh, the culture, you know, and the culture is what we make it. The culture, if you don't like the culture in which you're in, one of two things can happen. You help to change it or get out. Right? And so when we look at that, I just want for us to understand that culture is what we are. We could say, oh, well, we, you know, this or that. I'll just you know, a couple things, and it may come up in my notes again. I can't remember exactly what all I had have in my notes. But so if we decided to go to Haiti, the culture would be highly engulfed into voodoo, into the black arts and black magic. If you don't like that, I got two suggestions for you. Don't go to Haiti, or go there and try to change it. And the same thing goes for America. Same thing goes for where we are at today as Christians. God created culture. Humans corrupted it. Christ offers redemption and the ability to transform culture to reflect God's glory. Embracing what is good, what is just, and what is true within it. In the Bible, culture encompasses a people's shared customs, their behaviors, their languages, and beliefs arising from God's mandate for humanity to cultivate and subdue creation. While some culture practices are neutral, Scripture warns against those rooted in idolatry of disobedience to God. Remember, over and over again in Scripture, before they were able to go into the promised land, how it was made reference that the time of the Amorites or the Canaanites has not come yet. In other words, God was cleansing that country, that area, that land of that wicked culture. Remember, they were to go in and wipe them out. Now, I suggest we wipe them out today by converting them, whoever that may be. Everybody needs more Jesus in their life. Amen? And so as we look at this, whether this culture is rooted in idolatry or just simply disobedience to God, we need to be careful. The importance of discerning between worldly practices and divine revelation is where the Christian must thrive. A biblical understanding of culture involves recognizing it as a complex man-made system. Well, I thought you said God created culture. I did. But it's mankind, man-made, that makes the system what it is based on the creation that God has given us, which believers are called to understand, to engage with, and where necessary, transform according to God's will. So they're going to look at some things this morning that deal with this. And we say this in any area of our life, whether it's politics, whether it's our lifestyle, whatever it may be. If you don't like the way things are going on, then change it. Is it going to be easy? No. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. I do the very things that I don't want to do, I do. The very things I need to be doing, I don't. But who's going to make those things happen? I can't change Paul, and Paul can't change me. We have to each set aside that. So what I want to share for us, first thought, is that God has a design for culture. God has a design for culture. As we said, it's God created. Cultural unity is God given. Cultural unity. One word that I'm trying not to, and it was very difficult. I even had to go through my notes and take it out. So if I accidentally say it, forgive me. But this whole idea that we look at when we think of culture, what is the number one word that we use when we talk about culture? Diversity. Cultural diversity. What does diverse mean? Different. It's let us reform our thinking. Let us transform our thinking. Not for each one of us to be different, but to cultural unity under Jesus Christ. You want to make change? Quit talking about cultural diversity. Talk about cultural unity in Jesus Christ. The Bible depicts God as the source of ethnic, linguistic, and cultural variety. Now, there was one of the times I changed from diversity to variety to try to stay away from. But as we see that, so do we look at having multiple languages, having multiple cultures, multiple ethnicities? Do we look at that as multiple language, or all those things in our life? Do we look at that as a problem or a blessing? Because just stop and consider for a moment. If everyone in the world was just like you, what would the world be like? Right? Right? Now we say we're wanting unity, but we have unity under Christ. But Paul talks about that and how our unity under Christ says that some are hands, that some are feet, that some are arms, that some are legs. And we all have different things to do. So are we thankful for variety? Amen. Don't make it something that tears us apart. Make it something that unifies us so that the arms, the legs, the hands, the feet are all unified under one head. Jesus Christ. That'll preach, eh? Amen. And yeah, and so as we look at that and we go, that's what we need to look for. Forward to. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be disappointed when we get to heaven and everybody looks different. Right? Because if we think that Christianity is only an American concept, for shame on you. It wasn't started in the United States. It was started in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel message is one that needs to be obeyed and obeyed by all people. Look at all the different nations that were represented on the day of Pentecost. I personally do not care for that term, cultural diversity, as we'd shared. But let's look at the unity that even the scripture speaks of. Let's look into the future of what heaven's going to look like. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, from every tribe, right? All peoples, all tongues or different languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Cultural unity. Can I get an amen? Clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out to the Lord with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Unity. Nations, tribes, tongues, all brought together because of who? Our God, our Creator, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Culture serves human needs. That's why God designed it. Remember, God designed it, man messed it up. Okay? Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. This is God's plan for the culture with government involved in it. Paul states that government is instituted by God for the good of the people. Culture, in its basic sense, is how humans use God's creation to adapt to their environment and perpetuate their communities, developing shared values, tools, and rules for survival. Now, see, here's one of the things that we're going to look at, and we'll look at later, but is our Romans chapter 12 verse, or chapter 12 and verse 2 that we always look at. But it's a reminder to us that there's a change that does need to take place. And where does that need to take place? In your mind, in my mind, every day, it has to be a change. But the culture is here for mankind. Matthew, Jesus tells this on the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 31 and 32, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus here is basically looking at a culture of people and saying, don't act that way. For the Gentiles, look after these things that I'm going to provide for you. He's saying you as God's people, as the Jews of the day, that you need to understand I've got to take care of. And if God's own people don't understand that, why in the world would we want for the rest of the world to figure it out? That's what he's saying. It is God's intention that culture is based not on a political system or even government programs, but influenced by the body of Christ, the church. When culture becomes wicked and evil, or even despairing or burden-laden, this is not because of God's doing, but through mankind messing up what God has, messing up a God-given culture. Which then leads us to that thing that we've referenced already, is mankind's mess of culture. We need to avoid becoming as the world. A key biblical command is not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. Right? So if we don't like this world, which we shouldn't as Christians, then what do we need to do about it? The Lord has given each one of us a certain amount of time to do something about it. Instead of just sitting back and complaining, he's giving us the opportunity to change the world. Remember what they said about the early church in the book of Acts? They turned the world upside down. Thank you, Gary. They didn't say, well, this is the way it's going to be. We've got to just do our best to live in. No, they did their best to change the world. To the point in which it said, they turned the world upside down. Right? We've all been there. Maybe not so much anymore, because I've noticed through the years they don't put prizes in cereal boxes anymore. Right? But do you remember when they used to put the prizes in the cereal boxes? Anybody? Right? All right, I like the ones, it was usually in the Frosted Flakes and stuff like, they'd put those little like submarine that you'd put the baking soda in and then, it'd go down and then come back up. You'd put it in the water. Oh, those were always, but they were always where? In the bottom of the box. And so you knew the way to get what you wanted was to what? Turn the box upside down. Right? And just not let mom know. Right? That we dumped it all out to get, because, you don't want to stick your hand in there. But as an 8-year-old, you didn't care. Right? You were going to change it. You were going to turn the world upside down to get what you wanted. Christians, it's high time again. We're tired of living in a world that dumps on Christianity, that doesn't have a biblical worldview, then do something to turn the world upside down. We don't have to accept it. We can do something to change it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Use God's word to turn the world upside down. But in doing so, we have to reject ungodly principles and practices. This means standing firm against ungodly aspects of the culture. Yes, what did we say? Culture is given by God, but man messes it up. And so there's things that go on that we have to take a stand against. And recognizing the things that are acceptable in society that we must abhor. Things that say murder is okay. Things that say it's a lifestyle choice, and that's okay. No, murder is a sin. Other things are an abomination to our Lord. We cannot say they are okay and expect to change the culture. But we can't stand back and have everybody else shout at us. I shouldn't say everybody else. It's like 1 or 2% of the population shout at us that an immoral lifestyle is okay. The rest of us, in the inner parts of our being, the Bible tells us this. Read Romans chapter 1. That the inner part of man tells us what is good and godly. And it takes professional help to misunderstand and misrepresent what God's word says. Because on the inside of all creation, it is crying out. And remember, if people will not cry out and worship Him as Lord, He will raise up stones that will. I suggest that we, the church, today do not leave our job of praise and worship up to the stones and the rocks. I suggest that if we don't like the way the world looks, deep down, the heart of the issue is, we probably don't like the way the church looks. Or the way the church acts, or the way the church thinks. And then it is up to each Christian to quit living like the world and live like God. Change the culture. Rewrite the script. Acculturation is not always good. Adopting aspects of other cultures, right, can be healthy. Think back to when the Europeans made their way over to this nation. All of a sudden, Indians were dying of smallpox. Right? Because we were bringing our culture to them. Good thing or bad thing? Right? And so it's the same way. But we look at it, and it's far deeper rooted than a disease. Or an infection. There are many different aspects of other cultures that can be healthy. There are many other cultures that do a far better job of family unity than our culture does. We could learn from that. We could learn from that. We've got cultures, and sometimes we hear about them over in Africa or maybe Australia or wherever some of our missionaries may be, where they'll go to church that's 12 miles away. And I know people say, well, I go farther than that. I go farther. They walk 20 or 30 miles to be with Christians on the Lord's day. We do not have to be accepting of other nations' cultures, as I made mention of earlier. Other cultures may bring in the Islamic faith. I don't have to adapt to that. Others may bring in voodoo. I don't have to adapt to that. Others may bring in pagan things. Some are atheistic. We don't have to give in to that. Acculturation to those things are not good. If we desire to live in a Christian nation, then we must convert this nation to Christianity. Not embrace the degeneracy of Satan. So there is a transformation and cultural engagement that we all must have. We are a part of the world, but we don't need to be of the world. We may be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Embrace the good aspects of culture. Believers can embrace what is true, honorable, just, pure, and excellent in their cultures. 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Where do we get that? From culture. From man-made wicked culture. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives. As George shared with us, we're all going to die, but the church will live forever. The only way wicked and evil continues and is perpetuated, as we've heard before, is if good people stand back and do nothing. But I suggest that we take it deeper. We want for wicked, we want for satanic values and evil to continue to be perpetuated, then all the church has to do is sit back and do nothing. Take a stand. The only way the honorable and the holy continues is when it is perpetuated. Not just that we set it up so that somebody hears it. We do it in such a way that it impacts their life that they cannot do anything but live it out and take it to a world that needs it. That's how you change the world. Not by just hearing good sermons, but by applying the Word of God to your life. There are times that God gives people exactly what they ask for, and I think many times in this nation we've received it. Our culture, the culture that is around us, will be exactly what we allow it to be. That's why the Christian needs to be a countercultural force. Instead of just conforming, Christians are called to be a culture conductor for common good, influencing the world with a transformed mindset. A culture modifying Christian is a culture modifying Christian is a believer whose faith in God leads them to live, think, and act in the ways that are different from the world, but unified under Christ. Unity under Christ. Then we must stand against the opposition, against the prevailing values, customs, and goals of a surrounding secular society. Matthew 5:16 says this of those that want to follow Jesus. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works, and then they glorify your Father who is in heaven." But you have to do something. We have to do something that the rest of the world can see. Do they see us when we go into our closet to pray? No, they don't. Jesus tells us we need to go into our closet to pray, but he's not saying that's the only time we pray. Remember, he gets after the Pharisees for praying out in public, not because they were praying out in public, but because they were using vain repetitions and trying to glorify themselves. We want to change the world? Pray out in public and give God the glory. Don't be ashamed as you open up the Big Mac to bow your head in prayer, unless you're ashamed you're eating the Big Mac. Let our light shine. I'm not saying we have to go around and beat everybody over the head with our Bible, be known as Bible thumpers, but let's be known as Bible livers. Those that live by the Word of God, that we bring it into culture. This includes renouncing the world's pursuit of power, wealth, and influence in favor of Christ-like values such as humility, peace, kindness, and service to others, and trusting in God's will rather than cultural norms. Because remember today, and as we shared last year in a sermon series, as we looked, remember, what does God say about pride? That pride comes before destruction, right? That righteousness exalts a nation, but pride will bring down any people. And yet we live in a culture that wants to celebrate pride. Be careful, church. Be so very careful. We want to change? Then it starts with us. Take a stand. Be the church that the world needs to see. Work to transform the culture. Since Christ is redeeming all of creation, that's something we need not to forget. We're told multiple places in Scripture that Christ is redeeming all of creation, taking it back to the very beginning. Christians are called to work to transform culture to reflect God's glory, transforming ungodly aspects as they grow in Christ-likeness. T.S. Eliot's book, Christianity and Culture, argues that Western culture is deeply rooted in Christianity and that the decline of Christianity leads to a decline of a culture. Did we hear that? How did we get to where we are? It's the Christian's fault. The decline of Christianity. He warns that a society without a Christian foundation risks chaos and spiritual decay, advocating for the preservation of Christian traditions and a conscious choice to build a new Christian culture rather than accept a pagan one. It's high time that the church stood up and says, I want to be the church that Jesus Christ is longing to come after. Amen. And here's a wonderful thing about cultural unity, Christian unity. Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 28. For all of you, we want to do away with different ways of thinking. Then we come to the mindset of Jesus Christ. For all of you that were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. Why is that, people? Because we are all one in Jesus Christ. This is how we can change the culture into a Christian culture. Are we sick of the status quo? Are we happy with where we're at in this nation? Are we happy with where we're at in this congregation? I stand up here, and I'm grateful to see each and every one of you that are out there. But I see from this perspective a whole lot of empty chairs. But it's not just about putting, pardon my French, butts in the pews. It's about winning hearts for Jesus Christ. Want to change the world? Then let's do it. One person at a time. We can't make a big impact. Well, I just don't have the voice. You have the voice to share it with your next door neighbor. You have the voice to share it with the person in, next to you in a cubicle. We have more opportunities. I know that's one thing Jason and I always talk about and pray for is opportunities to share the gospel. So many times the Lord gives us opportunities and we don't think about it until it passes by. Why is that? Because it's not a high priority with us. If we make it a high priority, we are always looking at someone else that needs Jesus Christ. Let's change Harlan, the Fort Wayne area, Allen County, Indiana. Let's make the United States, once and for all, a nation of Christians that proclaims the God of creation and His sovereignty as Lord over all. Sound good? That happens by obeying the gospel. If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, being good, being a trendsetter, being an influencer is not going to get you to heaven. Being a Christian, counting on the blood of Jesus Christ is what's going to do that. Believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and look faithfully, live faithfully for Jesus Christ. Let your light shine for Him so that the world sees what you do and says, I want to be different. Let's change the culture together. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?